Nigel Limp suffered a serious speedway crash a few years ago, which left him severely sight impaired and with a brain injury. But he's been determined to fight his way back and continue with his greatest love, and that is motorbikes and much more besides. Now, recently, he went on a bit of a trip to an event with the Wilberforce Trust charity, where, amongst other things, he met motorcycle legend Guy Martin. And Nigel joins us now. Hi, Nigel.
Hello, Simon. Morning from sunny Sutton-on-Sea in Lincolnshire.
Now, first of all, Wilberforce Trust, what do they do?
They are a blind and deaf charity based in York, and they, I'm not 110% about what I'm going to say, but I think they have, what's the word, residents, living, as well as offering services to clients in the outside world. I think they have residents that stop there as well. And as I say, it's a blind and deaf charity, and it's been going, I think, since 1800s, late 1800s, to be fair.
And am I right in saying that you've actually been appointed an ambassador?
I have, yes, yeah. I had a message the other day to see if I would like to be an ambassador for them, which, and that's hugely, I'm so proud of that. I mean, I'm in Lincolnshire, so I can't do a lot for them, because obviously they're in York, but they said it's no problem. They just wanted to offer it me, because they were so inspired by what I'm doing, you know.
Yeah, well, we should say that, I mean, it really was touch and go back in the day, wasn't it? Just a few years ago when you had your accident.
Yes, it was. Well, I can't enforce that enough. The consultant took Julie, my wife, into what she calls the room of doom to tell her the prognosis of my brain injury. And the prognosis was I would either die from injuries or be a total vegetable all my life. So that was Nigel dead, whether he died physically or mentally. But thankfully, I'm here and I'm alive and I'm living a quite meaningful life, you know.
And I know your goal is to get back into employment, but you are enjoying life like you never thought that you could again.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I wanted to kill myself after all this, Simon, and that has never been me. I've never been that person. And, I just couldn't imagine ever been in this place that I'm in. I want to try and enforce that to people as well that's new into the situation. I mean, I'm a newbie into the visual impairment side, obviously 4 years since, nearly 4 years. I want to offer my advice to people, you know what I mean, that it is a black place to be when you're diagnosed with it or when it happens to you, and there's nobody can tell you any different, and I would never tell anybody any different. All I would like to say to anybody is that hopefully, fingers crossed, there is a little bit of, dare I say, this light at the end of the tunnel, you know.
And one of the things that you can lose with serious sight loss is your independence, and I know you've fought hard with that. You've just mentioned that you've been to York, and you travelled independently on public transport. That's quite a milestone, isn't it?
Oh, an absolute milestone, and as I say, obviously, I've been a driver all my adult life, you know, a driver on the road, so I've never had to catch public transport. So not only is it difficult catching public transport being a visually impaired person, as all your listeners will know, but I've never done it before, so it's a completely new thing to me. And, yeah, it fills me with fear, obviously, and anticipation and anxiety when I'm doing it and when I'm working out how to do it. But once I've done it, I just get so much pleasure from it, and I can take that onto me. I can take that what I've learnt onto my next, my next step. And it's not just public transport or anything. It's in life, isn't it? When you feel confident about doing one thing and you've conquered that mountain, you think, right, I can apply this into another task in my life, you know, whatever that might be.
Yeah, it's like not trying to do too much at the one time, but always building on each little milestone that you make.
That's right, yeah, absolutely.
Now, you went up to York, as you say, for an event with the Wilberforce Trust. Now, there was a motorcycle wall of death involved in this, wasn't there?
If everybody is the guy Martin, the motorbike, famous motorbike rider. He lives in North Lincolnshire near Grimsby, and he owns a pub, Marrowbone and Cleaver, which his sister runs. And because he's now the world record speed holder of Wall of Death, he likes to have the Wall of Death come to his pub. So he had a weekend, which was the same weekend as the Wilberforce Trust. So I'd gotten invited to go to that Wall of Death weekend with the Wall of Death attraction Ken Fox family, which we all know about, that I did a challenge with them a few weeks ago. But I couldn't accept the offer because I was at Wilberforce Trust. And then I thought to myself, you need to catch a train down to this and make yourself get there. So I did. Guy Martin came on the day that I was there. And obviously, I know Guy Martin from past. And because where I had my accident on Mablethorpe Beach, Guy Martin actually did the 2017 season there at the beach where I used to race. But obviously, I'd had my accident by then. So I know Guy Martin. Guy Martin knows me, and he thinks I'm very inspiring what I'm doing. Because Guy Martin suffered a brain injury. He got knocked out at the Isle of Man when he crashed. So we had a good chat. Obviously, Guy Martin is a avid pushbike rider as well. And if I can just mention this, Alex Fox, who is Ken Fox's son, who is a co-owner with Wall of Death, he's an avid pushbike rider. And the week after the Wall of Death at Guy's place, Alex actually set the Guinness Book of World Records speed record on a pushbike on the Wall of Death. So him and Guy was deep in conversation about pushbikes, you know. So obviously, Guy and I spoke and we talked about the beach racing and stuff. And 2 days after the Wall of Death event that I spoke to Guy, he was on his way to do a world record speed motorbike run at Elvington Runway, where they do speed records, and he achieved 270 mile an hour. Well, 270.95, I think it was. So I don't know if that's the world's record, 100%. I know he was aiming for 300 mile an hour, but he got 270, and I think he's doing it again at some point in the next few weeks to try again. So obviously, you know, Guy was deep in thought about things to come in the next couple of days. So it was very interesting talking to him. And I was lucky enough, obviously, to go in the centre of the Wall of Death. And I was stood with Guy when the Wall of Death show was on. So I was stood with Guy throughout that event. And then they offered Guy a ride on the wall. So Guy took to a motorbike and rode the wall. And I did some video in. Right from the centre, and I took some pictures of Guy, and I took some videos, and so it was a great day. You know, it is one of my heroes. You know, not only from motorbiking, but Guy is an engineer like myself, a mechanic like myself, and he doesn't talk about anything he doesn't really know about, but is very articulate and enthusiastic talking about what he does know about, and that's just me. I don't talk about anything I don't know. But you get me on the subject of something I do know, and I'll talk the iron legs off. Yeah. Know, that's quite evident, you know.
I mean, I've followed Guy. He was in the British Superbikes.
And, he was, yeah.
Yeah, and he was always came across as a real down-to-earth gentleman.
Yeah.
And, again, when you think about, you know, it's by choice, but some of the things that he's... The last time I saw him race competitively, he came off really badly, a bike, and he speared off into a field, and he was injured quite badly
That's when he was in a coma, and he had to have a tracheotomy, I think, at that point.
Was that that time?
That was the one, yeah. That's what I'm thinking of, yeah.
And you think, you know, there's an example of somebody who gets back and still gets on with things, and it's... I know it's horses for courses, but, you know, for you, it's great to get to meet him. And as you say, you know him anyway. But it's just fantastic, Nigel, to see that you're getting out there and getting the job done now.
Yeah, thanks, yeah.
So what happened to that then? Did you have to travel back yourself then, back from there?
Well, you see, from in Lincolnshire, it's out in the sticks. And there's no transport from Guy Martin's place back home. I'd have had to have gone to Grimsby. I'd have had to have... Yeah, 20 miles to Grimsby and then a 2-hour bus from Grimsby back home.
Yeah, but you can get fish and chips in Grimsby.
Oh, there you can, yeah. And you can probably get more things than that as well. But no, Julie, because obviously Julie knows Ken and Ken's family, so she wanted to come up and see them, of course. So,
Julie, your wife?
Yeah, Julie, my wife. So she come up with a daughter. And, of course, you know, they came into the centre because, you know, we're privileged that way, you know. And, yeah, as I say, you know, my Julie knows Ken and his Julie. That's what I call them, and family. So we're all friends, you know. So, and the weather was cracking as well. Really nice weekend. Really nice weekend.
Well, you've got a YouTube channel. How do we access that?
Well, if you type in Blind Bloke Racing, that's where my YouTube channel is, Simon. And there's not only just stuff that I've been doing. I put my life on there in a little sense, you know what I mean? I mean, just interestingly, I don't know if any of your listeners know what a theremin is. Do you know what a theremin is?
Well, once you tell me, I'll let you know.
Yeah, well, it was invented. It was patented in 1929.
No.
And it's a music machine that you don't have to touch, and it goes woo, makes a weird noise.
All right.
When you put your hands through it, you'll have seen something on the
telly. Yeah.
Well, I've got one of those that's totally hand built by a good friend of mine. It's valve operated, so it's really old school. And I put a little video up of that. So there's not only my achievements after my accident and my poor eyesight that I'm doing. I put life up, you know what I mean? And so I like to think it's interesting, you know, and please check it out, anybody. And if you put Blind Bloke Racing into Facebook, that'll take you to my page, which you can contact me from there, you know. And I'd love to hear from people. I really would. You know, I want to integrate with everybody, you know, ordinary sighted people as well as visually impaired people. I really do want to integrate and meet different people. So if anybody wants to contact me, please do, you know, please do.
So what was that called, a theremin?
Yeah, it's a theremin.
I might borrow that for a gig.
Yeah, you need to. You need to look on the... I've just posted it last night, so it's kind of the first thing on there,
all right,
I
then.
Think. So,
Well, Nigel, you've always got loads of life about you, and we're going to have a chat a little bit because, not today, but yep. We are going to chat again because although you're trying to do your best to get involved with things, you've actually received a little bit of negative kind of attention,
yeah.
Haven't you? And we'll have a chat about that because you think, what is that about? But that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah.
Nigel Limp, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you very much for your time.